Well, it's good to be back. We're in Alaska, where it was about 40 degrees warmer than it was here. We thoroughly enjoyed it. On one of our hikes, we took with our daughter, Elizabeth, and her husband, Andrew, and our sons were up there at the time. We took a hike up to Byron Glacier, and as we were there, we saw this sign along the way that said, "Danger, avalanche zone." It could be potentially dangerous. Use extreme caution. And I saw that sign and I thought, we had looked at the avalanche reports earlier and the chance was moderate for avalanches. I have no idea what that means. It means like 1 out of 10 people get wiped out. I'm not sure. But we went on hiking through here and I asked Liz and she assured us that it was going to be fine. And there's plenty of people on the path ahead of us, so I'm sure it's fine. And so we just went on. Hiking on up towards this glacier that supposedly had caves that we could go into, and it was an awesome sight. And we went along and hiking up, and we saw where avalanches had already come down the side of the hill and piled up snow 10, 20 feet high, and I was looking at that and looking up to the top and thinking, I hope it stays up there. And as we were going along, we came then to the glacier, and the snow, the avalanches had actually covered the holes where you can go in under the caves. So we just kind of stood there beside it and checked it out and looked at it and stood in awe of this big hunk of ice sliding down the mountain. And it had kind of melted, so there was this big overhang that kind of stood over. So you saw this big wall of ice that we could stand under and rub and feel, and it was really cool. It looked like it was wet, but it wasn't. It was just this awesome formation. And so we were thinking about staying there and having a little break, but we decided, well, let's keep hiking on up the glacier, see if we can find an entrance into one of the caves. So about 10 minutes later, we were hiking up the side of the mountain, and all of a sudden we heard this crack, and like a thunder, and we turned around, and we saw this end of the glacier begin to break off, and it went crashing to the ground, and there was people around there that were screaming, and we were wondering if we were going to have to run down there and help people out of this glacier that had broken off. And we realized that nobody was harmed or hurt, and then we just stood there thinking, we were just standing there. We could have been squashed flat by this huge, massive hunk of ice that just broke off 10 minutes after we were there. Well, it made me think about the signs and the warnings that we saw along the way about glaciers and avalanches. And I began to think, you know, it may be wise to pay attention to the warnings. And that's what the letter of 2 Peter is really all about. It's a warning letter, and it comes from the Apostle Peter, who's this courageous, faithful apostle. And this is his last letter to the church. He's going to be martyred for his faith, and he knows that this is about it. The Lord has already revealed that to him. So he writes one more time to the churches. Excuse me. In his first letter that he wrote in the Bible, he wrote to comfort the encouragers in the face of external onslaught of suffering and persecution. You know, things were bad for the Christians in the first century. They were being murdered and harassed for their faith. And he wanted to write to them to encourage them in their trials from without. Now, the second letter is a little different. He writes this and warns them of the internal attacks, the threat that comes from within, this lax faith and deviating from the truth that the apostles had taught. And so this letter could actually be written to us today, because the world is full of the same kinds of things. Full of false prophets and false teachers claiming to know the truth, but deviating, twisting what the apostles had written. So today, we want to listen carefully to Peter's letter and pay attention to the warnings. Now, maybe that sounds a little dramatic, I don't know. But I think about the glaciers or the warning signs at Byron Glacier. And I was thinking, you know, I saw them and I realized people were going on ahead of me, so I didn't think much of it. And I think that's the way it is with us too, as Scripture. We see people not really paying attention to some of the warnings in Scriptures and they just keep going on. And so we follow, we go on too. But it's a dangerous way to live as a follower of Jesus. we get complacent and then we don't see the threats. So Peter begins by countering the complacency by encouraging this Christ-centeredness about following Jesus, centering on the truth. He says this is the antidote to a faith that's stagnant and a faith that allows the door to be open to false teachings. And so as we look at this letter, the first warning to us is this: know the truth. I invite you to say that with me. Know the truth. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and what? The truth will set you free. Exactly. And so the better we know Jesus, the less likely we're going to be attracted to false teaching. And so Peter warns us that we need to know the real gospel. We need to know the real Jesus and hold fast to what the apostles taught. They personally knew Jesus. They were there at his death and at his resurrection. You know, we celebrate, we talked about up here, Christmas and Easter and all those times, but they were actually there. They were eyewitnesses. They have given us the truth. And so we know the truth by growing in Christ. It says, the apostle says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So God empowers our growing in Christ and knowing him through the Holy Spirit. And so we know the truth that way, by growing. But here's the thing. We're part of that process. We're encouraged by Peter when he says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the dilemma. One that makes us susceptible to neglecting the warnings and putting ourselves in danger. And we want God's grace and peace, but we don't want to put forth the effort that it takes to get to know Jesus better. You know, and part of that happens in Bible study and in prayer, reading and connecting with the Lord. But sometimes we just short circuit this learning process. So we know the truth by growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As followers of Jesus, growth is essential. Now, I don't know, you know, sometimes I've heard other people talk about how, you know, they just don't see that as being a necessary component to the Christian faith, but I don't see that at all. And I think Peter argues that growth is part of who we are as a follower of Jesus. We're growing, we're maturing in our faith. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us that that's our goal as a church, that everyone would be mature in Christ. And so we want God's grace and peace, but we sometimes neglect the effort. So as followers of Jesus, we want to grow in knowing him every day in every way that we can. You know, when I went to Alaska this December, I was not quite as in good a shape as I was last time I went, and I wasn't preparing for the trip physically. I got lazy. That's, you know, that's my confession. So I was concerned about hiking and skiing and all the things that my kids were doing and wondering if I'd be able to keep up. Well, like others, I didn't like to hear the words discipline and effort. But to be active in the wilderness of Alaska, it takes physical conditioning. You know, it's the same thing with our faith. Discipline and effort won't save us, but we grow as grow into the person that God desires us to be as we mature and grow in discipline and in obedience. So I think it's false to say that being a follower of Jesus doesn't require effort. We're saved by faith. Yes, I think Isaac shared that with us last week, you know, and that's the truth. But we're saved for a purpose, to do good works prepared in advance for us to do. So we shouldn't be surprised by this process of growing and maturing that God calls us to. You know, it's not automatic. It requires some effort, some hard work sometimes. But God gives us the power for growing. It's a part of being this follower of Jesus. So here's the warning. Paul says, we need to grow. Say that with me at the bottom. We need to grow. And so Peter's second warning is we need reminders. Let's say that one. We need reminders. When I started wrestling in high school, I knew nothing at all, and I was already in high school, so I needed a kind of fast track. So Coach Nelson taught me some basic moves, one of which was the half Nelson. Now, in my ignorance, I thought that this was his move. It matched his name, but I realized that it's a basic wrestling move. So even though I learned the half Nelson and then began to learn other moves as well, it was always from the sideline that Coach Nelson was yelling, "Half Nelson, Tim, half Nelson." So it's always going back to what? The basics, right? And so it's the same with our faith. We need to always go back to the basics. We keep being reminded by the scriptures of what it is that we believe, what the basics are. So in his letter, Paul wants to make sure that the believers hold on to these non-negotiables of the faith. And Peter's this eyewitness, so he talks about going back to the basic, and he reminds them in this passage. And you can see these words that are highlighted in 2 Peter 1. He says, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them." So even though you got this, you're going to hear it again and again and again, Paul's saying, "and are firmly established in the truth you have. I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus has made clear to me, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things." So even after Peter's gone, he's going to put things into place so that you're continually being, you and I, reminded of these truths. So remember the basics. Peter's commitment is reminding them over and over, and keep reminding them over and over. Do you ever get tired of hearing the same thing over and over and over? Well, you know, sometimes we do, and sometimes I'm thinking, well, how should I preach this Christmas message this year? Because, you know, they've heard it over and over and over. But I'm reminded of the words of a former pastor. He said, "You know, I was thinking about how to preach a Christmas message, and pondering about how to make it new and fresh, and I was talking it over with my wife, and she said, 'You know, you just need to preach the story. That's why they're coming, to hear the story. So tell the story.'" And it's true, isn't it? We want to continually be reminded over and over of the story of Christ. So whether it's birth or death or resurrection or his return, we're reminded. So as followers of Jesus, you know, we're prone to forget the basics of our faith. You know, just like sheep are prone to wander, we're prone to forgetting, and we need reminding. How many of you have apps on your phone that have passwords that you don't remember? You know, I cannot remember the apps on my phone, no matter what. It's like, "Oh, what is it?" And I asked Cheryl, and she's like, "Oh, how many times do I have to tell you?" And, you know, there's one exception, and it's the ones I use all the time. You know, if I'm using them over and over and over again every day, I remember the password. But if I don't, if I put them aside, I forget, inevitably. And again, it's the same way with our faith. Over and over and over, we need to hear these truths so that we are reminded, so that we remember. You know, next Sunday, we kick off Alpha. And Alpha is a series that I think reminds us of the basic truths of our faith. Alpha keeps bringing us back to the basics. And so whether we're hearing it for the first time or the eighth time, you know, it's a necessary reminder that keeps us grounded in the truth and protects us from false teachings. I love Alpha, partly because, for me, it's just that reminder. It's like, I don't know if I forget these things, but I hear them again. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, that's so good. That's so true." And that's the way it is. And so that's kind of my plug for Alpha this coming next week. It begins next Sunday evening. And if you want to sign up, you can go to the website or talk to Cheryl or Pastor Greg or myself. It's just a wonderful way to be renewed and refreshed in our faith with the truth. And Peter reminds his readers of these four basic truths, these non-negotiables. He says one is the authority of Scripture. And in this next passage, I'm not going to actually read through this, but I encourage it to your reading. It comes from verses 16 through 21 in 2 Peter chapter 1. But he talks about in here that the apostles are eyewitnesses to Jesus. They heard the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." They attest to his life and death and resurrection. And above all, he talks about the prophecy of Scripture and that prophets don't speak on their own accord. They speak through the Spirit of God at work through them. And so when we go to the Scripture, when we hear the Scripture, we can be confident that it is God's Word and God's truth, and it has God's authority. And so the authority of Scripture is primary. And the second truth is the priority of our faith. He says in verse 1, "To those who through the righteousness of God our Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours." You know, Peter knows how precious faith is, and faith comes first. You know, we receive God's glory and goodness, the Scripture says, which is just another word of saying it's God's grace that's free to us through faith, and it results in our being saved. And being saved, then we're on to this process of being formed into the likeness of Christ. So faith comes first. Being saved comes first. It's the priority of faith. And then we participate with the Holy Spirit in his transforming work. And I love this passage in verse 5 through 8 that talks about this process of becoming Christ-like after faith takes hold. He says, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So again, it's this progression, in a sense, of faith, and it ends up in love. You know, God is love. So as we're growing in our faith, we're growing into Christ-likeness, into this love of God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that it is by grace that you are saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that anyone can boast. So again, the priority of faith. But we sometimes forget the next verse. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance to do." So the truth is that faith comes first, then we are made into the likeness of Christ. So the third truth is the certainty of Christ's return. Peter says, "You'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So we're going to talk more about this in a moment. So faith in Jesus compels us to lead an effective life as a devoted follower. And so we're saved by what Jesus did. Isaac taught that last week, that God doesn't judge us on how good we are at being good. I love that phrase. But he judges us on what Christ did on the cross. And through that, we are saved. And when we receive it, then we're changed. And we become new creations, created to do the good works that God prepared for us to do. Jesus said, "I chose you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." So we're growing more and more like Jesus as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit at work in us. And that piece takes effort. It takes discipline. I asked someone last week if they would consider being part of the course that's coming up as a leader. And they said, they were thinking about it, but thinking that maybe they wouldn't this past year or this coming year. But they did say they would pray about it. And then they showed up later for the training. And they said that they were praying about it and realized that the Lord reminded them that this is what living for Christ is really all about: helping others come to know Jesus and grow in their faith. And while doing that, coming to know Jesus and growing in our own faith. They said it's a lot of work sometimes, but it's worth it. And that's true, isn't it? It is a lot of work sometimes, but it's worth it. As followers of Jesus, making followers of Jesus, we're reminding each other over and over again of our calling, of our purpose, of who we are in Christ. And we help each other to grow in this free grace and knowledge of Christ. So we need reminders. Let's say that one more time. We need reminders. Now Peter gives the third warning for the against these internal attacks, and he says that they're simply false teachers. Jesus calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. I love the picture that's up here. It's a little scary, isn't it? You know, the wolf is prancing around in the herd of sheep, and the sheep are completely vulnerable because there's the wolf, but they don't recognize it. Peter says, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. And so here's what Peter says about false teachers. He says, they're everywhere. They're all over the place. There's a lot of them. And so we realize that, you know, that's just part of the world we live in, that there are teachers and people who would lead us astray. And so we need to know the truth in order to be able to recognize the false teachings. They'll say anything for money. He says, many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you and fabricate stories. You know, I think that's one of the problems with false teachers is they kind of create this discredit of the gospel for everybody and people who haven't yet come to know Jesus. You know, and the truth is I've talked to too many people that have been damaged because of a false teaching that either promoted the pastor or the leader and harmed the people. And so I pray that I don't become one of those people. And I'm relying on you as the church to challenge me if I'm speaking something that isn't the truth, that you find it's not out of Scripture, that it's your responsibility as well to come to me and say, Tim, not sure about that. You better check your facts or dig into the Scripture. And so we want to be in it together. We hold each other accountable to the truth. Peter says, false teachers will do whatever they feel like. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. You know, it's harmful to our faith, and Peter says, reject all who would distort the truth. Now, that seems like a strong statement, but he makes it clear that these false teachings are destroying the true faith of followers of Jesus. So how do we know when something is a false teaching? Well, if we think about money, a counterfeit is an imitation that's intended to deceive. So it's called a forgery. So how do we know if something's real or not? Is that real? No, how do you know? So you have apparently seen a real 50. Okay. So, yeah, Ronald Reagan, you know, he's a president, but he's never been on any form or denomination of money. And so we recognize that that's false because we know the truth. And that's how we recognize a forgery, by knowing what the truth is. And then we compare it to the truth. If we find out that it isn't the same, then it's not the real thing. You know, this was happening in a church that I attended when I was just growing as a young Christian. I began to immerse myself into the Bible, and I was beginning to read the Bible and kind of get enamored with what I was finding in there. I was just amazed. But then I was hearing things in the church that didn't line up with what I was reading, and I began to feel uncomfortable, and I was wondering. So I'd go back to the Bible, and I'd read through it, and I'd find out that, you know, it wasn't the same thing. And so that's what happens when, because I was realizing for the first time, I was reading the Bible and finding out that there were some counterfeit things. So we recognize the false teaching by knowing the truth. Peter says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Where is Jesus, they ask? Wasn't he supposed to return? It's been over 2,000 years. And maybe we hear that today, that you and I don't really need to worry about Jesus returning, that he's not coming back anytime soon. So, you know, go ahead and live as you want to live. It really doesn't matter. You know, false teachings were widespread then, they're widespread now. Some say it doesn't matter what path you follow to God because they're all the same and they all lead to heaven. It's not true. It's not what the Bible teaches us. Some teachers say that since we're forgiven, that sexual immorality and other sin doesn't really matter because God's not going to hold us accountable. But that's not really what the Bible says. Jesus will understand, but is that what the scriptures are teaching? Or that since not everyone will hear about Jesus in my lifetime, does it really matter if I tell others about Jesus? Because God must have some other plan for that, right? Doesn't he? Well, that's not really what scripture teaches. And so the outcome of these ideas are that we question our purpose as followers and our witness is ineffective and lifeless. Now, yes, when we sin, we find grace in Christ for forgiveness. And we're forgiven so that we can now become more and more like Christ. So Satan's goal is to get us complacent and ineffective as followers. So how do we avoid the false teachings? By rejecting anything that's inconsistent with God's word. So Peter's final warning tells us how to live. Chapter 3 tells us about what's going to happen when Jesus returns, that the earth is going to get burned up. Did you know that? The scripture says the earth is going to be melted up in fire, but God's purpose is not to destroy the earth, but rather recreate it. He'll restore the good world with a new heaven and a new earth, a new creation. Scripture says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So Peter asks a good question in verse 11. He says, since everything is going to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought we to be? How should we live? Great question, isn't it? How should we live? Well, the scripture says we should live holy and godly lives as we look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So here's my suggestion. It's for me as well as each one of us. It's kind of the beginning of a new year. Take an inventory about how we're spending our time. Are we spending our time on the things that ultimately in the end are tied to this earth and they're going to be burned up? Or are we spending our time on heavenly treasures, leading people to Christ, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? So we can ask ourselves this question. What would I like to be doing when Jesus returns? For me, I'll probably be sleeping. I like to sleep in. But what would you like to be doing when Jesus returns? Well, then, ought we not be doing that now? And that's kind of what Peter is implying, that we ought to be doing the things that lead us into holy and godly lives as we look forward to the day that Jesus comes. He says, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Every effort. Sounds like discipline and work. Get to know Jesus better, however that is. No matter how we grow, we're always going to be challenged in our faith. So we want to find a way to draw closer to God and stand for the truth in any situation. Peter's last words are these. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This great apostle, disciple who followed Jesus from the very beginning, who believed and trusted and gave his very life, whom Jesus said, I'm going to build the church upon you and the truth that you have revealed. And his last words are this, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how will we keep growing? Well, we know, don't we? It's just sometimes a matter of reminding. Read our Bibles. Get to know the truth. Pray. Get to know God. Build some Christ-godly relationships so that we can be challenged in our faith. And then plug into the opportunities that we have for growth. You know, in the church, we provide opportunities for that. For adults, we have, and students, we have the Alpha Course coming up. Fantastic way to grow and mature in our understanding and our faith and our relationships. Adult Sunday School with Isaac and Ranelle is going to be starting next Sunday. A great opportunity, again, to dig into the scriptures. Wednesday, we have a midweek adult courses with Annie and Jacob. They're going to be teaching starting next Wednesday. We have a Bible Blast for kids and Sunday school. we have DC for youth and the youth group and Chick event that's coming up. The Chick event's an awesome way to grow and mature in our faith. I'd encourage all our students to be part of that. And there's women's circle, there's men's group, and as you know, Sunday worship. Coming and gathering and worshiping and hearing the truth and being together. It's incredible for growing and maturing in our faith.